As we approach the November 3rd election, Dr. William R. Glaze has written a pamphlet titled Politics and the Bible to help guide your voting decisions. For a donation in any amount, we will gladly send you a copy. Send your donation and request to Anchored in Jesus Ministries, P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. If you prefer to make your contribution electronically, go to www.anchoredinjesus.org, click the donate button, and request Politics and the Bible. Please be sure to provide your full contact information and allow 2 weeks to receive the pamphlet. Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again.
And so I remember when I was in seminary, there was all these books out, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming Back in 1988. Anybody have that book? I think I still got it tucked away somewhere. And then when he didn't come back in 1888, they had 100 reasons why he was coming back in 2000. So nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. That's why, you know, it would behoove us just to live right and glorify him. It will be with the saints that whenever he comes back, again, we talked about the rapture and the second coming. When he comes back at the second coming, it will be with the saints. Let's look real quick. What are some reasons that he's coming back? What are some reasons that Jesus is coming back? First, he's coming back to be with his people. We already talked about that. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, that Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place, I'll come again to receive you unto myself. And see, when we talk about heaven, you know, a lot of times, you know, we get overwhelmed with the streets of gold. Wow, man, look at these streets of gold. We look at the pearly gates. Wow, man, look at these pearly gates. And we look at the walls made of, wow, look at these walls made of jasper and, you know, all these different stones and different colors. And we, you know, we're like kids at Kennywood, right? Wow. We just become overwhelmed with the beauty. But that's not the greatest thing about heaven. The greatest thing about heaven is the fact that Jesus said, I go again, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go again, if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there you may be with me also. What would eternity be like without Jesus? I mean, I'm sure it would be fun. I'm sure we would enjoy it. But it wouldn't be as meaningful without knowing that this is the one who loved me and this is the one who died for me. He's coming back for his people. He's coming back to conquer and subdue wickedness here on earth. That when Jesus comes back, all the evil that we see, drive-by shootings, people who are abusing children, all these people ripping other people off, all the problems and things we see in the world that are perpetrated by evil people in Revelation 19, when he comes back, he's going to subdue all that. He's going to take it over. He's coming back to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. Reward the righteous and punish the wicked. He's coming back to lift the curse off of the earth. See, we don't realize this, but right now there's a curse on this earth. And you know, we want to get on God, right? How come God let all those people in the Philippines die? How come God let all these people die in a hurricane? How come all these people die in tornadoes? You know why? You know why that happens? Because the earth is cursed. And it's just a natural result of a cursed earth. You know, when you think about the fact that, you know, earthquakes and tsunamis are caused by plates in the earth shifting, God didn't create the earth like that. God created a perfect earth. In God's perfect earth, plates would not shift. But when sin entered into the world, the whole creation became cursed. And Paul says in Romans chapter 8, now all of creation, watch this, is groaning and waiting for deliverance. That all of creation, why is there a thorn in the rose? Because of the curse. Why do we see these natural disasters? Because of the curse. So the question is not, why does God let people die in natural disasters? I mean, really, this might sound crazy. But the bigger question is, why does he let us live through them? You know, we get the question mixed up. We are sinners. We are a part of a sin-cursed earth. A natural result of sin, the scripture says, is death. So, you know, we need to be thanking God that he spared us. We ought to be thanking God that he brought us through. We ought to be thanking God that he delivered us from some evil that was on our way. You know, I like the prayer that the saints used to pray. Lord, we thank you for watching us through, what did they say? Dangers what? Seen and unseen. Why? Because he's a good God. And the fact is that we should all be victims of sin. But God in his love, God in his grace, God in his mercy, he delivers and he saves. So when Christ comes back, this curse will be lifted off the earth. And we see, finally, when Jesus comes back, he will establish his kingdom. And this kingdom is found all through the scripture. Now, I don't know if they were able to get it back there. I asked them if they could pull up that song, Joy to the World. Did they get that? Didn't get it. Okay, so we won't. I'll just make comments on it, right? Because it's Christmas time, and we're getting ready to sing Joy to the World, all right? Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I sing it at Christmas. I love to sing it at Christmas. It's a wonderful song to sing at Christmas, but it is not a Christmas song. If you really look at the words to the song, it is a millennial song. It is a song that talks about Jesus Christ when he comes back again. You know, it says, joy to the world. Oh, there it goes right there. Thank you. Appreciate that. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Now, I'll stop right there and ask the question. Did the earth receive Jesus when he came the first time? No, it didn't. The Bible said in John 1:1, he came unto his own. And his own what? Received him not. All right? So, and we see that Gentiles didn't receive him. You know, they were the ones that crucified him. So the earth didn't receive him the first time he came. Oh, but let me tell you, the next time he comes, everybody's going to receive him. The next time he comes, you know, he's going to, as somebody say, Tony Evans say, he's not going to take sides. What's he going to do? He's going to take over. He's not going to take sides. He's going to take over. You got that next verse up there? Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Did he reign the first time he came? No, he didn't reign. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. And so we look at that and we see that creation is groaning right now. I believe that the heavens declare the glory of God, but creation is groaning. And so it's not crying out, you know, in praise to Jesus. Next one. He rules the world. Or I'm trying to help somebody out this Christmas. I'm messing up people's Christmas, right? No, I'm saying it's all right to sing the song, all right? It's all right to sing the song, you know. But I'm just saying, let's keep in mind what it's talking about. He rules the world with truth and grace. He didn't rule the world the first time he came, all right? And makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. Next one. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth, that's the same one, That's it? That's all the verses? Okay, appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you very much. As we move on, so we can see that when we sing joy to the world, that we're actually singing the fact that Jesus is coming to reign here on this earth. And the next section, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time, I just wanted to give you, see, some of this stuff, that's why I give out notes, because some of the stuff I don't cover, and it's good for you to have, though. So I break down the three views of the millennium. And this is very interesting for you to know, because this actually affects the way people live. All right? This, I mean, really, whether you are post-millennial, pre-millennial, or amillennial, that affects the way that people live. All right? So it's good for you to know that. But let me get down to the, because I know this is what we're all waiting for, the so what. All right? 10 exhortations. I'm not going to, somebody looking saying, wow, you know, man, he still got 10 more points, man. No, we're not going to, yeah, we're going to move through them. We're going to move through them. All right, there might be one that the Holy Spirit stops me on, though. We pray that he don't stop me on all 10. All right, the first one. Because Christ is coming back, we should increase in our love toward one another. The mere fact, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 and 13, that I see saints, instead of increasing in their love toward one another, they get more bitter and angry towards one another. The scripture says that as the day of Jesus Christ approaches, that we ought to increase in love for one another. So let me ask the question. You know, I mean, I spent, about 20 minutes teaching on the fact that Jesus is coming again. Somebody will say, well, that really doesn't mean anything to me that he's coming. Well, it should mean something to you right here, because he says that when he comes back, that his church should be increasing in love toward one another. So I ask the question, just think about your relationships, the people around you, and just ask the question, are you increasing in love or are you decreasing in love? You know, do you find more and more issues with the people of God? And you know, the scripture even says that even, you know, if we have a disagreement or a falling out, you know, it says this, that love, and I need somebody to help. I forgot this one now. I forgot. Somebody might need to help me out. Love covers a multitude of love covers a multitude of sin. Are we increasing in love toward one another? Secondly, we should be comforted concerning our loved ones who have died. That if we have loved ones who have died in Christ, that according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, that we should not be stressed out about them. You know, we hurt. Now, let me say this. I can say this at a time like this. It's hard to say this to people when they just lost a loved one, because they're sensitive and, you know, sometimes they take things the wrong way. So I can say it now. But if your loved one is a Christian, when they die, they go to be with the Lord. You know, Jesus said, I'm coming back to get your loved one, the body of your loved one. But when we come back, that your loved one's soul is already with me. And so I take comfort in the fact of knowing that my mom is with in the presence of the Lord. And so I look forward to the fact that I'm going to see her again. And so the fact that I might be hurting because I miss my mom, and I'm overwhelmed with this, you know, I was connected, you know, with my mom, and, you know, she's not here anymore, and how that hurts in my soul, yet and still, in the back of my mind somewhere, in the recesses of my heart, I know that I'm going to see her again. You know, I've shared, and I know y'all probably get tired of hearing me share, but, you know, just, you know, dealing with LC, you know, and the fact that I know that he's with the Lord, and I know that I'm going to see him one day. And as I said, the first question I'm going to ask him is, what did you mean by that term, jackleg? I know I'm going to see him again. So, you know, you see, it's not like, well, you know, LC died. He used to call people jackleg. I really don't know what he meant, and I guess I'll never know. No, I will know. I'm going to ask him when I sing. All right, number three, we should turn our enemies over to God. The fact that Jesus is coming again. Let's look at that one right there. See, now, again, these scriptures are all there, and you can look at them. So that you say, Pastor Glaze, you know, where you get that from? All right, 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Oh, see, now the Holy Spirit don't stop me, right? Right? Them that trouble you. Who's troubling you? Who's troubling you right now? The scripture says that God is able to recompense. He's able to pay back whoever is causing you trouble. Now, I'm going to say I would take this mainly in the reference of persecuting you for being a Christian, persecuting you for being a child of God. Verse 7, and you who are troubled, rest with us. He said, don't stress, but rest. When the Lord Jesus shall reveal, apocalypse, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, all right, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So, the fact that Jesus is coming back again, you know one thing I realize? I'm going to look at Jesus when I have problems. You got this! You got this! Jesus got it. And you coming back and you're going to straighten it all out. And I don't need the stress, but I can rest. I don't have to worry about trying to get even. I don't have to worry about trying to pay back. The fact that Jesus is coming back again, he says, put it in my hands. Let me deal with it. But see, what is the problem is we want to take the situation into our own hands. And that's when we get into trouble. You need to go back and read Romans chapter 12, where he said, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Number, where we at? Number four. I'm moving. We should look forward to our reward for suffering. Are you suffering right now? Are you dealing with pain, aching pain in your body? Are you dealing with persecution? Well, you know, you might not have a lot of relief right now. You might not have a lot of comfort. But the scripture says that those who suffer, that when Jesus Christ comes back, he will reward them. But you know, the problem with suffering is that you got to do it with the right attitude. See, when you go through problems, they can make you bitter or they can make you better. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of people who go through problems, they don't get better, they get bitter in the midst of it. And so not only are you stressing yourself out here and you're bringing age on yourself and you're bringing all kind of physical problems on yourself because you're stressing out, but look at this. The main thing is that all that you went through and you're not going to get rewarded for it. Wow. All the beat down that you took, all the ridicule you took, all the suffering you took because you did it with a bad attitude, you can't even look forward to a reward. So as we go through periods of suffering, let's do it with a good attitude. I mean, yeah, you know, we get down, we get discouraged. You know, that's true. But, you know, we can still have a good attitude. That's not to say that, you know, we can't go through that thing victoriously. Number five, we should live holy, obedient, and watchful lives. We've already talked about this. We should anticipate and love his appearing. The Bible says that if we love his appearing, that, you know, he will be pleased with us when he comes back. You know, do you love his appearing? Are you looking forward? You know, I said last week that sometimes my wife and I, you know, we just say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. You know, this guy, you know, he had all kind of problems. You know, physical problems, relationship problems. He went to this guy and said, is there any hope? And he said, yeah, the coming of Jesus. That's the only hope that you got, man. You know, and that we should anticipate that. We should look forward to the fact that Christ is coming again. Oh, here we go here. Number 7. We should be excited about opportunities to worship together. You know, people get bad attitudes about coming to church. You know, it's like I used to tell my kids, right? If you're going to wake up, brush your teeth, clean up, put your clothes on, get in the car, ride 20 minutes. And at the time, we were over across the street. Walk up the steps. Sit down in the church. You might as well get something out of it. You know, we ought to look forward. Paul says the writer of Hebrews says in 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, but come together, and so much more as you what? See the day approaching. What day? The day of the coming of the Lord. That when the Lord comes, that we should be found worshiping together. We should meditate on the second coming whenever we take the Lord's Supper. How do you get that in there, Pastor Glaze? What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians? He said, when you do this, you do show forth my what? My coming. That means you're looking forward. That every time we take communion, we not only look back. You know, I tell people in my theology class that communion involves three looks. A look back at the cross, right? Christ died on the cross. We look back at the cross. A look in the present at yourself. He said what? Examine yourself. And what? A look ahead to what? When he's coming back again. So during communion, there ought to be three looks. A look back, a look at the present, and a look into the future. So when we take communion, you know, we ought to think about the fact that Jesus is coming back again. We should exercise patience in all things. We should exercise patience in all things. That, you know, if we are trusting God for something, we need patience to continue to hold on. If we are going through a particular trials I've been talking about, we should have patience to hold on. And we should be encouraged by the coming of the Lord. And then lastly, we should be motivated to abide in Christ. We should be motivated to abide in Christ, knowing that he's coming back, that we ought to live in him. We ought to move in him, and we ought to have our being in him. The second coming of Jesus Christ. He said he shall return. So again, you know, we look down in the future and people say, well, so what? He's coming. Well, I just gave you 10 reasons as a believer that ought to make a difference to you. 10 reasons that you ought to be interested in the second coming of Jesus Christ. Whether you want to view it as the rapture, or whether you want to view it as a second coming, or whether you want to view it all together, the fact is that Jesus is coming back. And that should do something in our hearts. That should do something in our lives. It should cause us to live differently. You know, you ought to take those 10 points that you got them written down. You don't even have to write them down. They're already typed on the piece of paper for you. You should take those 10 points and look at them again and let them move you and motivate you to live the life that God has called you to live.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Eternal Christ. Jesus has existed for all eternity. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Shall Return, Jesus is the King Who Comes Again. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.